Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Number five is a trial can certainly produce something in your life. That's what I mainly want to talk about today, is how to let the trial produce faith in your life. There are some people that will testify and tell you straight up they would not have prayed were it not what they were going for what they were going through. They would not have sought the Lord had it not been for what they were going through. They would have not have got in church had it not been for what they were going through. There are many people that have the testimony, my trial led me to Jesus. My trial led me to His Word. My trial led me to faith. It led me to worship. Some of us might not have ever prayed had we not gone through something. So that's allowing that trial you're going through to produce faith in your life. That's what we're gonna deal with today. Now, before we turn away from 1 Peter, I wanna go back and look at something he says here in verse number 7. Notice he says here that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith, our faith is going to be tried. Our faith is going to be tested. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, though it be tried with fire. With that in mind, let's turn over to the book of James. Just turn backwards a few pages. Let's go to the book of James, the first chapter. So, 1 Peter just told us that my faith is going to be tested, that my faith is going to be put on trial. And so I want to talk about faith, and I want to talk about how to respond to trials and how to not move off of your faith, but allow your trial to produce faith and just what that looks like. I am convinced that for many believers, in a trial, or just in life in general, it's not that you've not done the right thing. It's that you haven't done it long enough. And if there's anything that will rock us off of the word or our faith, it's a trial. That's what the trial does, is it tests our faith. But what I want to show you in the word today is how you can reverse that and say, no, I'm gonna allow this trial to produce faith in me. I'm gonna apply the word of God to my life, and I'm not gonna let this trial move me off my faith. I'm gonna show you exactly how to do that in the word and why it's so important. So watch this here in James chapter 1, because he used some of the same language that 1 Peter dealt with. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 just told us that our faith is going to be tested, that trials are going to come and they will test our faith. Well, watch what James says here in chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. And we'll look at it in verse number 3. Notice what he says here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let's read that out loud. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when my faith is on trial, God's word says that'll work my patience. Now that word work means it will employ, it will require, it will bring on the scene my patience. Patience is vital to faith. As a matter of fact, faith can't even work without patience. I'm going to show you that today. But the word says here specifically that when my faith is on trial, then that will work my patience. And I am convinced that that's where many people miss it. They don't know how to apply patience to their faith, or they lose their patience when it comes to faith. But we're seeing here in the word that when my faith is being tested, that's going to work my patience. That's going to employ patience. He says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect or complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So notice what James is saying. And if you would put a bookmark here in the book of James, because I want to come back to this here in a minute, But let's not forget what he says here in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Read that out loud. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So what does this look like? Let's go back to Hebrews and I'll show you. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 6. Now, let me talk about faith just for a minute, because I don't want you using the word faith loosely. What does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean to have faith in a trial? Let me just paint a little picture of that based on scripture for a moment. If I asked you, name somebody in the Word of God that went through a trial, whose faith was tested. Many of you might name Job. Job's a popular candidate for trials, right? Job would come to my mind, but another individual that would come to my mind would be Joseph. And the reason why I would say Joseph is because God brought Joseph a word. He gave Joseph this promise that spoke to Joseph's future and his purpose. Joseph got so excited about this promise that God gave him that he went and shared the promise with his brothers. But when he shared the promise of God's word for his life with his brothers, they didn't appreciate that word. They envied him for that word. They ended up selling him out for that word and then told his daddy that he had been killed. And Joseph's life was filled with this trial where what he was living and what he was experiencing in life did not line up with the promise that God gave him. There was no harmony between what was going on in his life and the promise of God. Church, listen to me. There are going to come times in our life when you take inventory of what you're dealing with and you look at your life and you look at all that you are facing and then you hear the promise of God's word and you say, wait a minute, I don't think I'm actually living what God promised. I don't think I am living out everything that he said. There's not a connection between the health of my life and the promise of his word. So how do I reconcile my life not looking like his promise? See, that's what that trial of faith does. That's what that testing does. The enemy will use it to convince you that his word has failed you and that God is not faithful to his word and that he has not heard your prayer and that he's not going to honor his word in your life. As a matter of fact, this is what is said of Joseph in Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19. Now, I know you're in Hebrews 6, so just stay right there, but you can put these scriptures in your notes. Psalms 105, verses 17 through 19 says this. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. Verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Let me read that part out loud one more time. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That means there was a time in his life that this word had not manifested. What God had promised him had not manifested. And so until the time that that word manifested in his life, all he had was hope. All he had was faith. All he had was a vision that God gave him. But everything that was going on in his life spoke a different message to him. What he was dealing with in his life did not look like the promise gave him that God gave him. Church, there are going to be times in our lives when what we are living does not look like what God promised, but will we be able to maintain our faith? Will we allow this trial to fuel our faith? Will we be able to persevere whatever it is that we're facing as we hold on to the promise of his word? That's what it means to live by faith. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes we got to wake up every day and live by the hope that his word gave us, having not even seen it in our life. We stand in the hope that God will do what he said he will do. He will turn this thing for my good. And even though I don't see it, I receive it in my life by faith. Is that easy? No. But let's talk about faith a little more. For you and I to live by faith, these things must be in place. If you're taking notes, get ready, because I'm going to go through these quickly. Number one, faith requires a decision. You must have made a decision. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by what God said. I'm going to hold on to his word as the source of my life. That's got to be a decision. It's got to be a decision because the word says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's James 1:8. So I can't be double-minded about living for the Lord, living for the purpose that God has for my life, or whether or not I'm going to live for the world. I have to have made a decision. Faith begins with a decision. Number two, I must hear his word. I must be in a position to hear his word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to make your mind up to get in his word each day. You've got to make your mind up to get in an assembly where the word of God is being ministered and taught and given preeminence. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This word is the source of faith, not a preacher. This word is the source of faith. I am not the source of faith. I'm a preacher. You might call me a pastor, but I'm not the source of faith. I could get up here and give you a sermon that had nothing to do with this word and would not give you faith at all. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So number two, I've got to get into a place where I'm hearing his word. Number three, I must meditate on his word. I must meditate on his word. Joshua 1:8 teaches that until you meditate on the word day and night, you cannot have good success. So I've got to meditate on what I've been hearing. I've got to keep his word in the center of my heart. Psalms 1 says, I've got to be like a tree that is planted, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor in this word is not in vain. Number four, I must speak in line with what I have been meditating, with what I have been hearing. So I hear his word. I meditate in his word. I confess his word. I'm letting his word get settled in my heart, and that's what I'm speaking out of my mouth. It wouldn't take long to be around an individual to know whether or not they're operating in faith, because if your mouth is speaking defeat, doubt and unbelief, don't tell me you have faith in your heart. The heart and the mouth are married. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:38 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth will speak what the heart is filled with. You cannot speak defeat. You cannot speak brokenness and negativity and fear and then say, well, God knows my heart and he knows I got faith in my heart. God knows that out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Romans 10:8-17 make it very clear that if faith is in operation, it is in my ears, I'm hearing it. It's in my heart, I'm meditating it. It's in my mouth, I'm confessing it, all right? So I made a decision, I'm hearing the word, meditating the word, confessing the word, acting on the word. I've got to act out on what God said, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. I'm a Dudabook Christian. Hallelujah. You say, how do you spell Dudabook? It's D-O-D-A-B-O-O-K. Hashtag Dudabook. That's the kind of Christian I am. Folk ask me all the time out in public, what kind of church is Word of God? It is a hashtag Dudabook church. We Dudabook. Whatever the book says, that's what we do. Dudabook. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a Dudabook Christian. Don't just hear the word. Don't just meditate on the word. Don't just confess the word. Act out on what you have been saying. Act out on what he said. Hallelujah. So make a decision. Hear the word. Meditate the word. Confess the word. Act out on the word. Number six, be patient. Be patient. Apply the force of patience. What does that mean to apply the force of patience? It means whatever I have been doing, when I apply patience to it, I keep doing. Let me show it to you in Hebrews chapter 6. I know you're there. You've been waiting there for 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at it in verse number 11. If you're there, say amen. Watch what the word says. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers or imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So God is saying here, you don't just inherit my promise by faith. You inherit my promise when you have faith and patience. Faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Why? Because faith is not faith without patience. See, faith is not an event. Faith is a life. I've had people to tell me, well, Pastor, I had faith. It didn't work. You didn't have faith. Because faith is not an event that you walked out. It is a life you live. That's where patience comes in. Patience says, if I have made a decision based on God's word, I have heard his word, meditated in his word, confessed his word, acted out on his word, and I'm still not seeing that word manifest, patience says, stick with what you've been doing. So I remind myself of my decision. I hear his word. I meditate his word. I confess his word. And I act out in his word. If I still don't see the result that I was expecting, patience says, you go back and you do that again. Remind yourself of your decision. Hear his word. Meditate in his word. Confess his word. Act out on his word. You still don't see the breakthrough. Patience says, you don't get weary in well-doing. Go back and do it again. Remember the decision you've made. Hear his word, meditate in his word, confess his word, act out on his word, and then be patient. Patience means remain constant, remain consistent. Keep doing what you've been doing. Don't get weary in it. Don't give up. Don't quit. See, it is a trial that tests patience. That's what's tested, is patience. You might say, well, my trial got me out of the word. That's because it got you out of patience. You might say, well, that trial got me out of church because it got you out of patience. You might say, that trial got me out of my confession because it got you out of patience. What trials do is they test our patience. Will you stick with this? Will you keep this up? Oh, you were worshiping the Lord when everything was good and you were in the light. But will you worship him when things are negative and things don't turn out so well? See, the trial will always test patience. Can I get you to quit what you've been doing? That's what the enemy says. So when it comes to the life of faith, what is actually tested is patience. All right, y'all quiet. So that's good. All right. Come over to Hebrews 10. Let me give you some definitions of patience. Patience means hopeful endurance. Hopeful endurance. That's why the seventh step of faith, I told you I'd give you seven and I gave you six. I stopped with patience. The seventh step to faith is expectation. So I make a decision. I hear the word. I meditate the word. I confess the word. I act out on the word. I apply patience and I expect. See, what I'm expecting keeps me from quitting. See, if I'm at a bus stop waiting on the bus and it looked like the bus is not coming, I look back at the sign and the sign says the bus is going to be here between such and such time and such and such time. And I check my watch and I say, you know what? I'm still within the time allotted that the bus is supposed to be here. And so I'm not moving. I'm expecting something to come. And if I leave here, I'm not where the bus stops. If I go somewhere else, the bus ain't promised to stop there. It's promised to stop here. So I've got to stay where the bus actually stops. That's why James A. McManus can't leave Jesus. I know what he has done for me. I know what he will do for me. If I get out of his word, I put myself in a place where he don't stop. See, if he inhabits my praise, I'm gonna praise him. If he responds to my praise, then I'm gonna praise him. I'm not gonna let the enemy get me out of praise because I know praise is where he shows up. Expectation will keep you patient. When you're expecting God to meet your need, when you're expecting God to heal your marriage, when you're expecting God to heal your body, when you're expecting God to resolve that situation, then you can't leave God because your expectation is in Him. Glory to God. All right, watch this in Hebrews chapter 10. You there? Say amen. Okay, I didn't finish the definition. Patience. It's hopeful endurance. Constancy. I'm being constant. Enduring. It means continuance or waiting. The root to the word patience means to stay under, to remain, to undergo, to bear, to have fortitude, to persevere, to abide, endure, to tarry, to suffer, to wait. I'm not going nowhere. Hallelujah. Now, when you talk about patience, patience doesn't work without expectation. Because I'm waiting patiently and I'm applying patience to a process that I know is going to bring me somewhere. I'm not just waiting on nothing. You can apply patience to anything. Watch this. You can apply patience to doing nothing. So let's say you need a job, but you have filled out no applications. And so you're sitting out at home catching up on all the sports news. Or the soap operas. And somebody says, hey, how's the job coming? Man, nothing happened yet. I'm just being patient. See, you don't need to be patient because you're applying patience to sitting on the couch. All right? So let's say you said something crazy to your wife, which led to a disagreement, and now y'all aren't talking. Y'all got real quiet. So your friend asks you, hey man, you mentioned the other day that y'all were, you know, kind of butting heads. What's going on? Oh man, she still ain't talking to me, but I'm gonna be patient. No, please don't be patient. Because the last thing you did was say something you shouldn't have said. To be patient means you're gonna stay stubborn about something you need to change. The ladies are like, oh, I knew he'd get a word today. I knew he'd get a word today. If you said something to him that offended him, that was wrong and hurtful, and now, you know, he's hurt over what you said or did, don't tell your friend, well, I'm just going to be patient. No, don't be patient. You need to give something else good to the relationship, to the marriage, that you can then be patient toward. Is that making sense? Patience can be applied to anything. Because all patience says is, I'm going to remain constant in what I have been doing up to this point. What we need to be applying patience toward is our faith. Let me show it to you. Hebrews chapter 10, you there, say amen. Watch verse number 30-something. Let's go to verse 30-35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Be confident, be steadfast. There's a reward that'll come. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. All right, let's read that out loud together. Ready? For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You need to be patient after you have done the will of God. Tell your neighbor, after you have done the will of God. See, if you hadn't done the right stuff, if you've been eating what you shouldn't be eating, and then you make your mind up, you know what, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And somebody says, hey, how's that going? I know you said the other day to stand in agreement with you for to lose that 20 pounds. How's it going? Oh, I ain't lost a pound yet, but I'm being patient. You're going to gain 20 pounds if you stay patient. You've got to start a new regimen that you are patient about. That means you've got to change what you're eating, change your exercise level, and if you look good, get on the scales 8 hours later, and you say, man, this ain't working. You have not been patient. You've got to give that thing long enough. Oh no, who needed a word on marriage and weight loss? Can you help me say, oh Lord?
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.